Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of amazing individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted and privileged to welcome a very, very senior professional from the world of inclusion, diversity, and equity from South Carolina, USA, Sonia Pemberton. Sonia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Ash.
Sonia is the CEO and founder of SRP International. She's a speaker, a transformational catalyst, and an inclusion strategist. So Sonia, while we'll talk of inclusion and transformation, let me start with SRP International. Tell me about this venture and what you do here.
Sure. So SRP International is a company that works with individuals and organizations through the lens of othering. And I work primarily with companies who are interested in a new approach to the conversation around diversity, equity, and inclusion. Mm-hmm. It's a much broader conversation than we sometimes see. Mm-hmm. And they're looking to have a more sustainable behavioral change. Because as we know, any organization that's looking to have any change initiative starts with the people that work there. Fantastic. So we need a new approach. Mm-hmm. And what I was seeing from a lot of the research that I was doing was specifically in 2020, there was a report that came out that organizations were spending billions of dollars a year on their change initiatives and their their training and development, an old term, training and development, that's dating how long I've been in this field.
Yeah.
But in particular, one that really stood out to me, Ash, was the one about they had spent $7.5 billion in 2020 on diversity programs alone.
Wow.
And let's face it, you're in India, I'm here in the US, there are people listening from all over the world. Mm. We all have a DE&I or EDI, whatever, however you want to put it out there,
correct,
the acronym. Mm. We all have these issues and they are based in our very being.
Correct.
Of how we show up in the world, how we have been socialized in the world. And until we understand how to work with the human and what a human needs for sustainable change, then these programs that have been taking an intellectual approach, Ash, will not have been sustainable. Mm. So when we're thinking about it in our heads, that's one thing, right?
That's it. Mm.
But true behavior change needs to include the entire human. And as we get into the conversation,
correct,
I'm more than happy to elaborate.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, moving on in discussion and our discussion to DEI, let's start with asking you, what are some of the inequity challenges being faced by women and minority leaders in the world?
Vast. Hmm. I mean, there's so many.
Yep.
You know, there's the pay inequity. There's that ceiling that specifically women and also men of marginalized communities, people of marginalized communities are having difficulty attaining the higher levels. Mm-hmm. When we begin to look at organizations and we start to move up to the highest realms of those organizations, we begin to see a lack of diversity of all kinds as we get into the C-suites. And also on the boards, some of the boards. Mm. Now, over the last couple of years, organizations have been making an effort to change. Some organizations, not all, have been making an effort to change this makeup of their C-suite and their boards. But we still have a long way to go. So as far as women and minorities in general, or people of color, marginalized people from marginalized communities, the struggle is, as we say here in the US, the struggle is real.
Mm.
We are not represented at the highest levels. And so when we start to talk about promotions and how people are promoted and all of these things, we have to go back. And also hiring and recruiting as well.
Correct.
You know, they're all using all kinds of formulas to figure out who's going to get the interview, and you know, computers, AI is now really involved in a lot of the things that we do and how we're selected. We're missing what's happening to our unconscious happening to us unconsciously that we're not aware of that affects the decision making that we make on a daily basis.
Correct.
95% of our actions are driven by our unconscious, and people are not even aware of that.
Well
so
said.
Till we begin to deal with the human and how humans operate, we will continue to have these issues.
Very well said. And I guess
not just in the US, everywhere.
All over the world, absolutely.
Yeah.
And as you said very rightly, I think the first change has to begin within ourselves. You know, but you just, a few minutes ago, you talked about $7.5 billion being spent. I've often wondered.
In one area.
In one area, absolutely. There is a lot of talk about inclusion. You know, all corporate leaders are talking about it. I'd love to get your perspective on, is something substantial really being achieved?
I think we see incremental improvements. And again, I'm not sure that they're sustainable. Again, when you're taking an intellectual approach, which is only one part of the human, and you're not dealing with the underlying or underpinning foundational reasons for some of the things that are happening, people don't really want to go deep inside and take that introspective journey, because then you have to see some of the things that perhaps you've believed that are no longer true, but you're not even aware. Again, going back to that awareness piece of the unconscious, I think a lot of the inclusion pieces, I mean, everybody has the performative, you know, speech about it, the, you know, the, their missions and statement has changed and they've updated and they're, you know, hiring more people. Yes, well, you're hiring more diverse employees, but those employees still have a struggle because the people that are leading them, perhaps in some cases, have not, are not even aware of their thought processes around this. And it also begs to question, you know, do we really understand deeply what it feels like to be excluded? One of the contract companies that I've worked with for several years now has said, you know, if you're not intentionally including, then you're unintentionally excluding. And so, yeah, there's a lot of work to be done there. I think we're making, as I said before, incremental movement in that regard, but I don't think we're getting that ROI we should be getting on $7.5 billion.
Absolutely. And a follow-up question, Sonia, would be, where does accountability lie for this?
My take on this is that accountability lies with personal social responsibility. It lies with me. It lies with you. It lies with every, let's put it this way, human on the planet. It is our responsibility to be aware of how we are acting, how our behavior, our thoughts, our feelings, and our then subsequent actions, and how we are making those decisions. So we can talk about leadership effectiveness. We can also talk about leadership development in the same sentence. But it become my take on leadership is that every single one of us, whether you are the CEO, chairman of the board, you're the person that works as staff, support staff in an organization, every single one of us is a leader. And do you know why that is, Ash? It is because the most important person that you will ever lead is yourself.
Well said.
So we have a personal social responsibility to take responsibility for the change that we need to see in the world. And we all know, we've heard that quote many, many times, and it's been distorted a little. But at the end of the day, the meaning is still there.
I agree. And yet, you know, I'll give you an example of two boards, two global boards that I served on. In one, the chair mandated that 1/3 of the board must be women and it must happen. In the other, the board, the chairman said, I've mandated and approved the rules. And now it's up to my HR leaders to ensure this happens. In the first case, it happened. In the second, it didn't happen. So that's why I wanted to ask you, what happens when a leader says, but there are, we have policies, but it's not happening because we find, can't find the right people?
Well, because there has to be more of, I have done, you know, I've told you to do it. If it's not happening, then where's the follow-up, right? Where's the accountability? At the end of the day, it all starts at the very top, whether the top, You know, the CEO is the top, the board is the top, specifically in nonprofits. We have boards. They have, of course, a CEO or an executive director, but the board has a lot of say-so. So it takes accountability. It has to be intentional. Mm-hmm. It has to be something that you recognize that needs to be eradicated, mm-hmm. right? And until the people that have the power and the mm-hmm. influence, and mm-hmm. we all have some power and influence.
Absolutely.
So I go back with people who say, well, I don't have any power. Mm-hmm. Well, you have power and influence with your community, correct. With your family, with your social group. How about starting there, right? But for the people that are running these organizations and that are heading up these boards, it is, you can't just mandate it and then say, mm-hmm. okay, I've done it.
Yeah.
Where's the follow-up?
Well said. Well
You're
said.
Responsible.
Well
and
said.
For corporations, they have corporate social responsibility. Mm-hmm. They utilize that in different ways, mm-hmm. But they are responsible for the communities in which they serve.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
And yeah, that's
and,
something.
And, that you know, and if you were to move outside the corporate world, and now let's mm-hmm. look at the society that we live in, or the government yeah. of our region, country, whatever you want to look at, what is the recourse available to ensure DEI is implemented in our society and the government?
Well, the government is just another corporation, right? Okay. And it also has heads.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different.
Yeah.
Whether we're talking about healthcare, you're talking about an industry. Mm-hmm. So government is an industry, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just like any other industry. In our case, there are, you know, municipal government, there's state government, there's the federal government. I'm speaking specifically here in the mm-hmm. U.S., the one mm-hmm. I'm most familiar with.
Yeah.
And all of them have heads.
Correct.
Everybody has somebody that they're mm-hmm. reporting to. Everybody has a direct report mm-hmm. Of some kind. And it's the same. Mm-hmm. But here's the key, Ash. At the end of the day, the responsibility lies in individuals understanding that they have a natural inclination
correct.
To other. And that's my platform, dispelling the myth of the other. So that is what we have to get across to every person in the community, which then includes people who work in organizations, which then includes heads of state, presidents, CEOs, board members, everybody that would consider themselves a human needs to take personal responsibility. Organizations can do more because they're spending these billions of dollars, organizations, including governments, organizations, because they're spending all this money, they need to make sure that the intellectual approach that they've been doing for years is, I believe it was Einstein who said, you cannot change the problem with the same mind that created it.
Correct.
That is not new.
Yep.
So if you're using and doing the same things over and over again, what is the definition of insanity?
Well said. Well said. My next question to you is that, you know, given the diverse country that you live in the US, or I live in India, I'd love to get your perspective on how does culture impact DEI?
Well, culture is a big word, right? Culture impacts it in that every individual, no matter where you live, you have a country of origin. When you were born, we were all born little baby humans. Oh, we were all so cute.
Absolutely.
Oh, we're just gorgeous. We're just perfect little beings. Mm-hmm. And then we had these people who were raising us,
correct.
Who had an experience in life.
Yeah.
And so they were getting us ready for what they felt we needed to navigate this world. So just imagine that your caregivers, because they're different for everybody. Some of them are their parents. Some of them are other relatives, whoever was getting you ready for the world, you're an infant. They were packing luggage. And in that luggage, they were putting in everything they felt you need based on what they experienced in their lives.
It's amazing.
Right? So that's all happening here. You're a baby. You're just looking and you're learning and you grow up and you're hearing it. You're hearing what's being said in your family, you're hearing what's being said in your social groups, you're hearing what's on the news in your country or your locale, wherever you might be. All of this is going in
Correct.
It's going in your luggage. Okay. And you continue with these belief systems, some of them that you're not even aware are there.
Yep. Well said.
Okay. That's until we disrupt and learn to mitigate a natural inclination to other, we will continue to have cultures that perpetuate, not just cultures, systems, institutions that perpetuate, because who are there? Who's working them? Individuals that perpetuate this concept of better than, less than, which I call othering.
Well said, well said. So Sonia, let me now move to another part of our conversation. You're also a transformational catalyst. Let me start by asking you, how do you define the term transformational catalyst?
It is someone who challenges your status quo, your belief systems, and gets you to really dig deeper and unpack the luggage.
Okay.
Begin to take those pieces out. Do I really believe in this? Has this been my experience? Where did that belief come from? It's having someone really investigate and what I call take that introspective journey of self-awareness, learning how to think about your thinking, what we call in the neuroscience metacognition, thinking about your thinking in the moment, because that's where it originates. And then we have a feeling. So part of this, another analogy that I like to use with transformation work is the cab. Everyone knows what a cab is. So I say, we've got to get in the cab because the cab are the three dimensions of being a human.
Okay.
Our cognitive, how we think, our thoughts, our affective, what we feel, and our behavioral, how we act.
Okay.
Right? So when I tell you that organizations are taking an intellectual approach, they're stuck in the cognitive. But until we really deal with the entire three dimensions of humans, these are adult development theorists. This is not me, this is science. Until we deal with the entire human, we will not have sustainable behavioral change. And so the work that I do is dealing with putting people in the cab. They're actually learning to drive their own cab,
where
they're understanding what's happening here.
Go ahead, please.
They're understanding all three dimensions. They're understanding in the moment. They're learning a skill set to transform what's happening in the moment. So it's a self-awareness. I call it an awareness-based approach.
Well said. Well said. And yet, Sonia, most people or most corporate leaders like status quo ante maybe, you know. How do you persuade leaders to transform? And whatever I've seen, transformation, when it's needed, leaders get pushed into it. I'd love to get your perspective.
So I don't try to get people that are not willing and not ready, that don't want to change. And so that pushing piece, again, that's that intellectual, we'll tell them all this stuff and they'll just change. That doesn't work. Hello, it's not working. Look where we are. I don't know what's happening all over the world in every country, but I know what's happening here. And we're not moving the needle.
Correct.
We're going backwards in some cases. So we have some successes. I don't want to make it sound like we're not making any move, but we're not making the moves that we should be making based on the money that's being spent. So for me, it's not about, as I go back to, it's a personal social responsibility. So if I'm having a conversation with a leader who doesn't feel the need because they can't even see their own blind spots. So they're not even aware of some of the behaviors that they're taking that need to change, that should be transformed to be more inclusive of everyone in the organization when we're talking specifically about leaders. I try to talk to them a little bit about how they're operating, have an understanding of as a human, what goes into how we make decisions, specifically for leaders around decision making. So if you can talk their language and things that they're used to hearing about how being more effective, being more inclusive, their decision making processes, things of that nature. So that would be my first go in, but understanding that everyone transforms at a different level, everyone sees where they are in their development, at different times. So you can't force people to change. You have to sort of talk to them about their what's best for them, because everybody's it's what we call here in the US with them. What's in it for me? Right? What's in it for you is to do your part
Correct.
of this beautiful tapestry that we call humanity, that we're all a part of. Each one of us is a gorgeous thread that comes together to make the most magnificent tapestry ever, ever made.
Well said.
And you have to do your part. So, or do you feel responsible? How about the life that you want your children to have and your grandchildren to have, the people you care about? Do you want a better world for them? Or do you want to keep going in the same direction that we're going now?
Amazing. What a response. So, Sonia, I have time for one more question. And this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your vast experience of inclusion, DEI, and the work you're doing in transformation, what would you say are three lessons you would like our viewers and listeners to take away from our conversation?
I would say to ask themselves a few questions, right? Who is the other? Right? And in some cases, the other is you. And what I like to tell people is I want you to think about your gender, your race, your ethnicity, your social or your sexual orientation, your mental health status, your military status, your marital status. If any of those can be used to describe you, then you're the other to someone.
Well said.
So then ask yourself, if you're the other, who do you feel is the other? Where did that thought process originate? And be willing to uncover those beliefs that you've been living with and been carrying in that luggage all of your life. And I want them to take away that it is your personal social responsibility wherever you live in the world to make it a place where everyone feels a sense of inclusion and belonging, personal social responsibility.
Well said. Well said. Sonia, on that note, and so clearly defining that whether it's inclusion or diversity, equity, whether it's transformation, ultimately it is we, each one of us, who needs to be accountable to ourselves. To take as you, to take your words, personal social responsibility. Thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me at such length about DEI and you've obviously got a huge amount of experience, and I hope one day I'll talk to you again in more detail about DEI. Thank you also for talking to me about transformation and the work you're doing with corporate leaders. Finally, thank you for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much for having me, Ash. Take care and be well.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.